live all across the United States and Canada and around the world. We're on the air because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Good to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live on air. When you dial 888-ASK-HANK, that translates to 888-275-4265. Our contact information as we begin the broadcast on the web, it's equip.org. Via the mail, it's Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they're standing by, the number 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Again, to get your question answered live today, the number to dial 888-ASK-HANK translates to 888-275-4265. I want to mention before we go to our first caller that if you are an existing member of the Bible Answer Man monthly support team, please consider helping us close our funding gap. We have carried that over from the month of June to the month of July. With an extra gift this month so that we can meet all of the expenses that we have in continuing to equip God's people worldwide to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. If you're not a member, and you see the life-changing impact that this ministry is having, please prayerfully consider joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team today for a monthly gift of $25 or more. I'd be pleased to personalize a copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. You can check all of this out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. A lot of people hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up today is Robert, listening in Richmond, Missouri, on NRB radio, or television, I should say. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Mr. H. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Awesome, awesome. Thought-provoking, as I sit and listen to the answers and questions, it makes me think of a whole bunch more questions. Anyway, to get to the one, and you're looking or listening, talking with somebody that has become Netzarim in my belief system and in how I view our salvation and the original faith. Anyway, to get to the question, in making my election sure and thinking about the scripture that talks about no sacrifice for deliberate sin, Paul says the things I do or the things I hate, that's what I do. So Paul, is he talking about a person that is saved when we do the things we hate to do, or someone that's before they follow Yahshua?
Well, I think what's important to get in this passage is first and foremost that Paul is not talking about another person, but he's talking about himself. And the statement that he makes about himself is not in order to escape the moral responsibility of his sin, but it is a way of communicating the powerful lure of sin. So he says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out, for what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. The emphasis, again, intended to communicate that this is Paul speaking of his own life. And this is Paul's recognition, again, of the powerful lure of sin. And I think that the more you grow in righteousness, the more you see the true holiness of God. It is as though you are now illuminated by a bright light that shows all your inconsistencies. And I think this is commensurate with what happens in the Old Testament with Isaiah, who gets a glimpse of God's holiness and himself comes apart at the seams. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Kathy. She's listening in Burbank, California. Hi, Kathy.
Yes. Hello?
Hi. Good to have you on the broadcast.
Thank you. I'm just curious. I was brought up with a Christian father and mother and brought up, you know, reading the Bible and everything, and I've had a little bit of trauma in my life recently, and a lot of my friends have told me to listen to Creflo Dollar, Joyce Meyer, Joseph Prince, and I don't know, they're teaching, I don't know, all I hear is, you know, don't worry about sin, you're already forgiven, and I don't know, I just feel like they're just teaching you that everybody's going to do it and don't even give it a second thought and, you know, just brush yourself off and keep on going. And I wasn't brought up believing that. I mean, I believe God forgives you, but they just make it sound like it's just an everyday occurrence, so don't worry about it. I mean, T.D. Jakes, I don't know if you know him, but I've listened to his sermons, and he said sometimes God will break the rules in order to get you, you know, it's so sin is okay if that's what it takes to get God, for God to get you out of one situation into a better situation. And I'm having issues with that kind of thinking.
Right. Well, let me say without equivocation that all of the teachers that you have just mentioned are false teachers. I've written about each and every one of them in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. They're purveyors of what's called the health and the wealth or the prosperity gospel. And to them, faith is a force. Words are the containers of the force. And through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. So at the end of the day, the issue is not your sin. The issue is how you can access the riches of God. And typically, you do that through mouthing mantras or speaking faith-filled words. So at its root, at its core, this is a prostitution of the biblical idea of faith. In biblical theology, faith is always a channel of living trust from an individual to their God. And as such, faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. If it is faith in our own faith, it is not well-placed faith. But if it is faith in our God, then it is true faith. So they're giving you a prostituted Christianity where Christ becomes a means to our end as opposed to being the end. And they're, in essence, teaching people to come to the Master's table not for the love of the Master, but rather for what is on the Master's table. A couple of things I want to mention as well. We did an article in the Christian Research Journal, not the current issue, but the issue just before that, on Joseph Prince. So it gives you an overview on his very, very defective theology. And then, as I said, the other people you mentioned, from Creflo Dollar on to some of the other teachers that you mentioned, I've dealt with their theology in Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century.
Thank you. I felt that in my heart, and I you know what? I know God forgives you, and you have to repent, but they just make it sound like everybody's going to do it, and it's going to happen every day, and just put it behind you and don't think about the past, and I have never felt comfortable with that.
Well, and there's another point here that I think ought to be explicated, Kathy, and that is when we come to faith in Christ, it's not as though we just make mental assent to a core set of doctrines, but it is that we become apprentices of Jesus Christ, learners or followers, disciples of Jesus Christ. So we should ultimately say with the Apostle Paul, I follow Jesus Christ. And then Paul exhorts us in turn to follow him as he follows Jesus Christ. And that means doing the things that Jesus Christ did so that we not only have everlasting life in the end, but that we have life abundantly in the present. That doesn't mean an abundance of things. That means that we have conformed our bodily functions to the principles of Christ's kingdom. It means that we have developed the inner life where we can hear the still small voice from within. It means that we have embraced frugal living while harnessing the wealth of the world for the kingdom, not just as something that we use for our own purposes. And it also means that we learn to live all of this out in ecclesia, or in church life, which is to say we're never called as individual Lone Ranger believers, but we're always called as a community of faith.
Okay, thank you so much. I felt like I was going crazy, and I thought, I was struggling with this, and thank you for clearing that up for me.
You got it. Want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Jean. Jean is listening in Dallas, Texas on NRB television. Hi, Jean.
Yes, hello. I am calling because I once heard a pastor say that children who are not at the age of accountability, even those in the womb, that are, if they were to die and if their parents are unsaved, that they will go to hell. So is that true?
No, it's absolutely false. We have no basis to make that kind of a statement. In fact, why would David rejoice after his infant died? He rejoiced because he said one day he would spend eternity with that infant. So to suggest that infants who die in the womb categorically are lost is simply going beyond the biblical revelation. I think what we're better served to do is leave infants in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God. God has given us enough about His nature so that we can trust Him no matter what. I mean, this was ultimately the understanding of Job. Job wanted to know the reason why things happened, even death of family members, but in the end, he was able to say, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. And that's the principle, trusting God, even when we don't understand, and trusting our infants in the hands of this infinitely merciful and infinitely just God. So we will know with great certainty in the end that when we stand in the great assize with people from every tongue and tribe and language, we will indeed recognize that God's judgments were altogether just and righteous, and in that we can rest with great peace.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Dwight. He's listening in Oxnard, California. Hi, Dwight.
Hi, Hank. Hello?
Hi, your question.
Yeah, I got a question. Judges chapter 11, verse 30, human sacrifice.
Yeah.
And I just want to know your take on that.
Well, this isn't human sacrifice at all. In fact, if you read the entire passage, you'll find that in the end, what Jephthah's daughter was mourning is that she wept because she would never marry. And after 2 months, the text tells us, she returned to her father, and he did to her as he had vowed, and she was a virgin. So again, verse 38 makes it clear that Jephthah's daughter did not go out and mourn her impending death, but rather her perpetual virginity. Remember, Jephthah was a judge and was not to practice the detestable ways of the pagan nations, such as sacrificing humans in the fire. The moment a judge or a king did something like that, they were anathema, as you see with Ahaz, for example, in 2 Kings chapter 13. And God would not accept a human sacrifice, so offering a daughter to perpetual virginity in temple service becomes the moral equivalent of that in terms of the vow.
Yeah, that's what I was more or less thinking. but I just wanted to get your clarification on that.
Well, you got it. And again, as I said, Jephthah was not offering human sacrifice to the Lord, and that he would not have compounded one evil, which is the breaking of an oath, by a greater evil, the sin of human sacrifice. His daughter was offered not as a dead sacrifice, but as a living sacrifice, and that for the rest of her life she would be a virgin, and not to bring children into the world to continue the lineage of her father would have been indeed a tremendous sacrifice. So again, this does not have to do with human sacrifice, forbidden, called a detestable practice of the pagan nations that Israel was called to be a light to. And to the extent that Israel participated in those practices, she was no longer a light, but rather had become a prostitute, as many of the prophets talk about and describe Israel as becoming. Be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK.
Through his many best-selling books and a massive multimedia empire, Deepak Chopra has succeeded at convincing many Westerners to embrace Hindu beliefs and practices in the name of science, healthcare, and even Christianity. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, you'll see why Chopra is a spiritual force that Christians need to reckon with. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Just go online to equip.org. Or you can call us at 888-7000-CRI. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back. God wants you to know true financial freedom. To live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money. To know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Christians typically haven't had much to say about video games, and often when they do, it's pretty negative. There are certainly real concerns over violence and addiction in video games, but the church needs to give this nearly ubiquitous medium a more balanced treatment. Other topics include sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad. Does the Bible teach that the earth is flat? Soren Kierkegaard, Understanding the Christian Father of Existentialism, Contemplative Prayer, and Psalm 46:10, Suffering an Apologetic Mission, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Did you know that the Bible Answer Man broadcast you're listening to right now is made possible by the generosity of friends like you? That means your support truly matters. And when you give today, we'll show our appreciation with a copy of Secure by Rick Dunham. Secure helps you discover how you can experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI to give your gift and request Secure now. That's 888-7000-CRI. Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff with more of the answers you need today.
Thank you very much, Randy. And do remember, Secure is a tremendous resource. If you don't have it, get one immediately. Secure captures the ultimate irony of life and of living. Security is not found in getting, but in giving. To read Secure is to take the first step towards turning that truth into experiential reality. Again, the book, Secure, Discovering True Financial Freedom. It's a book that you can read rather quickly, but it is profound, a book that I've read several times. I think it is an important resource, again, available all this month for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Joey listening in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, Joey.
Hi. How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. There's a question I got. I was wondering if you could just answer this one part of the question for me. It's Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. The part that I need to answer to is, for it is impossible. Why is it impossible? No matter what the scripture means, why couldn't this person realize what they did wrong and repent? Why is it impossible? That's the part I need to understand.
Yeah, I think that it is probable that one can become so hardened in their contempt for Jesus Christ, so hardened in their love for sin, that they become utterly incapable of the self-humbling that is required for repentance. And I think we see this ultimately in the lives of the Pharisees, who are said to have committed the unforgivable sin. And do remember that Hebrews is written to Hebrews. These are Hebrews, in light of the Pharisees that I'm describing, who have determined that though Christ is the only one who could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy, yet with premeditation, they're willing to say that the works of Christ were the works as well of Beelzebub, the prince of demons. They knew better. They knew Messiah was in their midst, and yet they rejected Messiah. They had become, as it were, insensitive to the pleading of the Holy Spirit. The same is true, of course, for Pharaoh. Remember, his heart was hardened. What was the occasion for the hardening of his heart? It was mercy. Every time God showed mercy and removed a plague, Pharaoh responded by hardening his heart even more. And so I think in context, that is what's going on in Hebrews chapter 6.
So their heart has become so hard, that's why it's impossible.
Yeah, this is a continuous, willful, ongoing rejection. It is not an act, but a continuous, volitional action by which the hardening of the heart comes. And you see the ultimate mercy that God showed Pharaoh. This is the same mercy that God showed the Pharisees. He was doing the works of righteousness in their midst. He was demonstrating that he had fulfilled temple, priest, and sacrifice, that he was Messiah promised, and yet they rejected him because they loved their traditions more than they loved God. And I think in the context of this passage, even falling away refers to a Jew who falls back into Judaism or bondage to the law, which was already fulfilled through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So they made a profession at first, but ultimately they did not possess a relationship with the living God because they would not respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. In fact, had become insensitive to it because over and over again, as those who were called sons of God or teachers or those who were God's representatives to the people, they had denied, abdicated their responsibility for love of their own tradition.
Okay, great. I appreciate it very much. God bless you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Shirley. She's listening in Linden, Pennsylvania. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm calling. My husband passed away 2 years ago from a car accident. He went very quickly in 2 days. And my husband and I put the Lord first before each other in our marriage. We served the Lord, we loved him, and I love him with all my heart, and I do everything to walk in God's perfect will. What I'm calling about is I realize that I'm not good alone. I'm not good walking alone here. Even though I have the Lord first in my life and I'm serving him, I feel like Ruth felt. And you know, am I doing something, or what do I need to do to find a husband or to receive a husband, or is it up to the Lord? I ask for God's perfect will in my life. There's been a lot of anxiety. I own a house with 3 acres of land, a lot, and my children are grown and productive, and they're not near me, so I'm very much alone.
Yeah.
And I'm delighting myself in the Lord and asking him to give me the desires of my heart. But do I need to do something more than just sit here and be idle and wait for someone to come? What do I do?
Well, Shirley, let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for this divine opportunity to talk to Shirley. And Lord, we are even now exhibiting our dependence on you, the fact that you are our Heavenly Father, that you care for every single need in our life. And Lord, I pray that you would be the balm of Gilead in Shirley's life as she deals with the hole in her heart and having lost her husband, and even now she deals with the tragedy of aloneness. Oh, Lord, I pray that you will bring people and circumstances into her life so that her life might be full, overflowing. And, Lord, I pray during this time of loneliness that she will find fulfillment and fellowship in community with the very one who knit her together in her mother's womb. Oh, Lord, become more real to Shirley than the very flesh upon her bones. Lord, I pray that she might become fulfilled within the community of saints, within church life where she experiences you in fellowship with others. And Lord, if it be your will, I pray that you do bring someone into her life so that she can be completed again in companionship. Oh, Lord, we pray that in the meantime, that she will exercise all of those disciplines that allow us to become apprentices of Jesus Christ, that she might take this time of solitude and silence as a way of fasting from the world and feasting on you. I pray, Lord, that she might meditate upon the Word of God as the missing link between the intake of Scripture and an effective prayer life. Oh, Lord Jesus, touch her life and bring those things into her life that you have ordained for her. But, Lord, let her know above all that there's not a single hair that falls from her head, even at this very moment, that you're not aware of, that you love her infinitely. We pray all of this, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Shirley, you know what I'd like you to do? I'd love for you to get out a Bible and to meditate on Psalm 139.
139. Yeah. Oh, I know that. Yes, I have meditated on that. Yes, okay.
Just meditate on that passage and just let it become part of the warp and woof of who you are. And even personalize it. Oh, Lord, you have searched me. You know me. You know when I sit, when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Sometimes just take a phrase and go over and over again. That phrase, where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I'm to go up to the heavens, well, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there too. So personalize this and pray it over and over again and recognize that you are truly never alone. If you are a child of the King indwells you. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have a companion who sticks closer than the best of human friends. That's not to say that your pain and your hurt are not real. They are real. They are difficult. But life surely is difficult. And Christianity never gives us the promise of a panacea. What it gives us is the assurance that we can have peace in the midst of life storms. So you're going to have difficult times, but there's an overriding peace that comes when you fill yourself with the presence of the Almighty God.
So I'm doing the right things. I've been in the Word constantly, just in crying out for His perfect will in my life.
Yes, yes, you are.
I'm 64 years old. I was saved when I was 13, and I know the Word, and yet He's become so much more real to me since this has happened. And I want to share that. I don't want to be an idle person. I want to share the Lord with everyone I come in contact with.
Well, Shirley, you are a beautiful woman. I'm sure inside and out, and you remind me a lot of my mother. When my dad died in 1997, she was left with a huge hole in her heart, and that's why I can empathize with what you're going through. Vicariously through the life of my mother, who shares with me daily how difficult it is for her. And she has chosen to remain a widow because she said that my dad was the only guy for her, and she is not going to look anywhere else. She just made that decision. But that doesn't mean that's the decision for you. But what I'm saying is that I can empathize with the very difficult circumstance that you're in to some degree, vicariously through the life of my mother. And again, my mother's had to find peace in the same way that you're going to find peace, and that is with companionship through Jesus Christ. Now, my mother's fortunate because she's got family around her and a lot of grandkids and so forth, but that doesn't mean the loneliness is any less. The loneliness is acute in every sense. So I pray that meditating upon 139 will be the balm of Gilead in your life, and that God will move through people and through circumstances to fill the void with human companionship as well. Thanks for your call. You'll remain in our prayers. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answering Broadcast.
Every truth seeker has questions, and CRI and the Bible Answer Man Broadcast are here to help you find the answers you need. But each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through friends like you to produce broadcasts and resources you can trust. And that's why we'd like to thank you for your donation today by sending you Rick Dunham's book, Secure, a powerful resource to help you discover real peace and security through Jesus Christ. Call 888-7000-CRI to request your copy now. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In a world spiraling into a sexual free-for-all, many Christian women are succumbing to the cultural insanity that says sex is all about you. Others are smothered in shame concerning their sexual struggles. How can women find sexual sanity in a world gone mad? Other topics include how the West really got lost, video games and Christians, can God fit in this machine? Deepak Chopra's Cosmic Enlightenment, a remarkable summary critique of Alex Rosenberg's book, The Atheist's Guide to Reality, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. God wants you to know true financial freedom. To live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money. To know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI. Century critics of the Bible invented the concept of a flat earth, and some very fringe Christian groups joined in the act, affirming that the earth is indeed flat. But as the current issue of the Christian Research Journal demonstrates, the Bible says something very different when it refers to such things as the four corners of the earth. To start your subscription to the award-winning Christian Research Journal, call 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Debbie. She's listening in Alabama on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Debbie.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good, and I want to thank you so much for your service. I listen to you every day that I can.
Bless you. Thank you so much.
And all of your books. And my question is, I'm a Baptist, and my mother was saved, and she died 4 years ago, and I'm saved. And we have always been brought up to believe that when you die, when you get to heaven, you will see your loved ones again. And my question is, do you believe that, or do you, if so, do you see them as you saw them here? Will I see her like, just like I saw her here?
Well, first of all, you will recognize your loved ones in heaven. You're not going to have less knowledge. You're going to have more knowledge in the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwells righteousness. But will she look precisely as she did in this life? No. You're going to be the perfect you, and she's going to be the perfect person that she was designed to be. In other words, her DNA will develop in a pristine circumstance in which there's no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, in which there's no more devolution. And so she will flower to perfection in eternity and always be in that state. DNA, again, is just a way of giving you analogy for what the design of God was and what it will be again. The design for you has been corrupted through sin and destruction and decay in a sin-cursed universe, but that will no longer be the case in the new heavens and the new earth. So you'll look differently, but differently not in the sense that you won't be recognizable, because you're recognizable not only by your physical characteristics, but by a sameness of soul that establishes personal identity forever.
So, in other words, when I get there, I'll know it's her and not just a spirit, and she'll know that it's me.
Well, you're not going to be just spirit. Now, it is true that in the transitional heaven, you're absent the body, present with the Lord. But in the new heavens and the new earth, when Jesus appears a second time, you'll be physical again. The soul will return to the body. That body will be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So you'll be a body-soul unity again, which is what it means to be human.
Well, and when I read your book, Life After Life, that was one thing about during the transitional period. Do we know that we're in heaven? I mean, are we just...
Absolutely. Again, you're not going to have less knowledge. You're going to have more knowledge. You'll be in the presence of God and with others who have gone on to be in the presence with the Lord. So yes, again, there's a sameness of soul that establishes personal identity. So you're known not only by your physical characteristics, but also by metaphysical characteristics.
Okay, I see. So we can all really look forward to seeing our loved ones again, just as we knew them here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the relationship will be different, but different only as in better, which is to say that you won't be husband and wife in heaven if you're married. But that doesn't mean that the relationship will be diminished. The relationship will be greatly enhanced. Heaven is the homeland. Earth is the breeding colony. So we won't be breeding in the new heavens and the new earth, but we will, in fact, have relationships that extend beyond our wildest imaginations.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, and God bless you.
God bless you, Debbie. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Chad in Kannapolis, North Carolina, listening on the web. Hi, Chad.
Hi. I always learn so much when I listen to your show, your explanation on Hebrews earlier. By the way, I never heard that passage put that way, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
My question for you, actually, is in regards to Let No One Deceive You. And by the way, I've been interacting some with Dr. Michael Brown, author of Let No One Deceive You. Interacting with him some, particularly after he had this recent article he published asking John MacArthur to embrace the true fire. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
I'm not, no.
Okay, but it's basically, which I'm not a cessationist by any means, I know you're not either, but it's basically asking John MacArthur to embrace true fire in response to him having the Strange Fire Conference. But anyway, to make a long story short, I started interacting and read Let No One Deceive You, and I've also read Counterfeit Revival, and I noticed in Let No One Deceive You, he seems to make lie, you know, he starts making these comments like Kane Cass says there's all people that are falling out and starting to abandon the faith altogether. Well, where is his proof for these people? And so I just got on the topic. Well, I was very nearly proof of one of those people that fell out of the faith altogether. but just started talking, and now he does want to meet me for lunch. And I know he had similar meetings with him in 1997. I just need your advice and your wisdom because I know it's far more than mine.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think that you have to recognize him as a wonderful brother that is tremendously gifted of the Lord. He has a tremendous intellect. He has a tremendous capacity for loving other people. And though I disagree with him on many different issues, as he disagrees with me on many different issues, I do consider him a wonderful brother. And I've gotten to know him a little bit personally and have very much appreciated not only his sincere love for me, but also, you know, his very brilliant mind. God has very, very much gifted him.
Okay.
So I think just enjoy your lunch, have a good time, see what you can learn from one another, and iron sharpens iron at the end of the day.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate that, and that's certainly the approach I've been taking so far. And just wanted to make sure I thought you were on that page with me as well. Just wanted to get your feedback.
Well, you got it, Chad, and I appreciate your call. And again, pray that your meeting goes well and that you learn a tremendous amount from one another. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Anthony. He's listening in Houston, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
Awesome. Hey, you know, again, I love your show and I listen to you every day. I just wanted to ask you a quick question, and or it's kind of like a two-part question, and kind of get your intake on it. As far as I know, there's a lot of different questions and different answers among the Christian community on this subject, as far as the rapture. If there, you know, some people believe there is a rapture, some people believe there's not. And as far as like the 7 years of tribulation, and if we're going to have to endure some of that before the second coming of Christ.
Well, first of all, there's no biblical warrant whatsoever for a secret coming of Jesus Christ or for a future 7 year tribulation. And I think on the same level, there's no biblical warrant for believing in a second chance for salvation after the second coming of Jesus Christ. Christ is clear. All given to him by the Father will be raised up on the last day. In the same way, Paul points out that the liberation of creation goes hand in hand with the redemption of our bodies, and therefore we can be certain that no one will be saved during a millennial semi-golden age following the second coming of Jesus Christ. The notion that our bodies are redeemed at the rapture and the earth is liberated from its bondage to decay approximately 1,007 years later is without biblical precedent. At the second coming, the bride of Christ, the church universal, is complete. No one else can be saved. I think that's what the unambiguous teaching of Scripture is. And that's not to say that there were not tribulations in the past that are identifiable as seven-year periods. Certainly, we can point to the tribulation that took place under Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. This is still something remembered with great poignancy in the Jewish community every time they celebrate Hanukkah. So this is a reality, just as freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus was a reality. But to take that seven-year period and somehow or other move it in the 21st century is simply without any biblical warrant.
Right. Yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, in the Bible it talks about the mark of the beast and the Antichrist rising up and, you know, one world order and one world government, one world, you know, one world beliefs. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of where I'm getting at as far as the last days, where it talks about in the Bible.
Well, the Bible doesn't really talk about that as something that is unique to the last days. First and foremost, if you want to find the real identity of Antichrist, all you have to do is read John's epistle and recognize, or his epistles, and recognize that Antichrist is anyone who denies that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh. That man is Antichrist. And that's not true only of a man and a woman, but it's true of an institution. So any cult that denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is Antichrist, whether an individual person, leader, or whether it is the entire institution as a whole that denies the deity of Jesus Christ. As far as the mark of the beast and all of these things are concerned, remember that these are things that are true in every epoch of time. Your worldview and what you do identifies you in terms of who you belong to. Do you belong to Christ or to Antichrist? Or in the words of Revelation, do you belong to the Lamb or do you belong to the beast? If you belong to the Lamb, then you're marked by the Lamb. If you belong to the beast, then you have the mark of the beast. But again, your worldview and what you do identifies you. It's not a physical mark. So all of this is not something pertaining to just one epoch of time. It is something that pertains to all epochs of time. We can say in a more general sense, as Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And therefore, we set our sights not on mean earthly vanities, but rather we set our sights on eternal verities.
Okay. Well, I greatly appreciate your time, and, you know, God bless you guys, and I'll continue listening.
Well, thank you so much for your call. And while the notion that 21st century Christians are destined for 7 years of bliss and Jews are in for a Holocaust of unparalleled proportions is being trumpeted in current very popular Christian circles and with great bravado, it is simply not great Bible, and I point this out in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experience. It's going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered by calling that very number, but you can also contact us on the World Wide Web and find answers to your questions at equip.org. You can find resources that I talk about on the broadcast. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or call our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Again, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. If you're hanging on, I'll get to you. If you want to get your question answered the next hour, dial 888-ASK-HANK.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you want more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or log on to equip.org, where you can listen to the show live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. God wants you to know true financial freedom. To live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money. To know, deep within, you are truly secure. Yet, there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few.
Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.